Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the day of Pentecost, and our sermon text for this day will be taken from the Gospel of John. And we're going to read from chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 37 through 39. And if you could please rise for the reading of God's Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. Beginning at verse 37, continuing in Jesus' name. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake this of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. Please be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us, and oftentimes we have a tendency to think that we know. But yet, Father, the flesh often leads us astray. But we know by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that you can guide, that you can correct, and you also, Father, can glorify. We pray by the same Spirit that you would continue to be with us, that you would encourage us and strengthen us. Allow us to understand and know of the great gift which you've given to man. We are blessed. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth. We know that your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting thing. We have kind of a strange attitude when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you don't. If you don't, praise God. Maybe you're confident in it. Maybe you have this great understanding where you feel the boldness. But we can either go one way or another with it oftentimes in our life. We can be afraid and be so conservative and so neutral that we don't speak of the Holy Spirit. Or we can be so zealous and so excited that we blame everything on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just need to focus on the cross scene of Jesus Christ, understanding the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and allow God to be God in our lives, and allow His Spirit to speak to us. Oftentimes we'll turn around in our lives and we'll ask questions. Why does this happen? Why does this not happen? But the fact of it is, the true answers are found not only within the Scriptures, but by the Scriptures with also the Spirit. See, God didn't leave us on this earth to defend ourselves and to take care of ourselves. He understood very plainly what that would get us. It would get us trouble. But He has given us something that is so great. He has given us a part of Himself. Not even we should say it that way. He has given us Himself. Because He is fully God in the Spirit. And He has given us this down payment, as the Scripture says, of His Spirit in our lives to be the guide, to encourage, to uplift, to correct. And this Spirit uses His written Word, that it is a living Word. It is an amazing thing when you stop and you consider what has been entrusted to us. That we are able to enter into a world that is full of darkness, that is full of fear. And we can enter into this world boldly by the inspiration of the same Spirit. But do we live in that? Do we encourage ourselves in that? Or do we often pull back in reserve and say, well, I can't get too excited? Or do we often come from the other side of the spectrum and say, well, if I'm not excited enough, then I must not be living in the truth. We live and we breathe and we move by the inspiration and the working of the Spirit in our lives as Christians. Anything outside of that is dead. It's an interesting thing. where you take a text like this and you can turn around and you can say, what is this guy going to say with two verses or three verses? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that I say nothing. And I pray by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God would speak and that He would be bold and that we would be encouraged as believers. Because we have a time in our life where things seem dismal and things seem difficult. We turn around and we look in this world and we see what the answers of the world are. The answers of the world are live to make yourself happy. Take these substances to release yourself. You're never truly who you are unless you can be influenced by something else. And that's all foolishness and it's a lie from the pit. There is something that is so much greater that has been given to humankind that we can't even imagine or fathom. It is the gift of God Himself for each and every one of us. And He proclaims Himself each and every day, not only in what we see around us, but by the Spirit itself that speaks to us. This is real. It's not a game. And see, I don't need to preach to you in this fashion because I need to understand this for myself. That we are dealing with the reality of God. And when we enter into a place of speaking of His Spirit, just as the brother said, He is not third fiddle. That it is God Himself. To turn around in the aspect of faith and to understand that God Himself saw His creation and saw how crooked and wayward it went. And God Himself said, I will join myself to them. And I will come down there and I will, in reality, reveal myself to them. And He does this. And then He understands that there is a penalty for sin that we are not able to pay. And He Himself takes the cross of Golgotha. And He takes, in reality, and He takes this corrupt flesh and He cleanses us inwardly that we may become vessels. Vessels able to hold not only good things of life, but able to hold God Himself in. This is what He's entrusted to us. Our God sees us, our God redeems us, and our God fills us. This is the God that we serve. Every other God in this world turns around and tells you, take care of yourself. Figure it out. There's religions around this world that are trying to appease a God, hoping to make Him happy. God Himself says, I find satisfaction in one thing and one thing alone, and that is my Son, Jesus Christ. May we be found in Him. The Pharisees are getting upset, dealing up to our text. They're getting upset because Jesus is gaining recognition. We have that tendency even in this day and age. We find pastors, we find servants of God, we find people in our lives that are glorifying God, and often in our flesh we can have a tendency to get angry. Who do they think they are? And I'll agree, if they think they're anything in the flesh, then they need to be removed because it's not them. But the fact of it is, when we see the work of God in our life, are we able to recognize it? And when we see the work of God in this world, are we so scared of everything that we can't give recognition to it? Because God is still upon the throne. He's still operating. And they were threatened by Jesus and His position. They were threatened by the recognition that He was getting in this world. It said in parts of the scripture, the whole world is going after Him. Because there was a desire. There was a need. And so then Jesus even confronts them. And He says, you guys say that you're really religious individuals. And this is my language. He says, but you say you're so dedicated to God. Well, if you are, why are you seeking to kill me? And they said, you're crazy. In fact, you have a devil, because why do you think we're trying to kill you? And it's within the same area that they all of a sudden are talking about, we got to get rid of him. That's how fickle human beings are, left in their flesh. But yet now Jesus turns around and He makes this great statement. It says it was the last day, that great day of the feast. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles, or it could be a booths, whatever you may want to call it. But basically in the seventh month, on the 15th day, they had this feast that they would praise and that they would give honor and glory to God for the great bounty that was given to them. And you can find this if you want to look in Leviticus, I believe around chapter 23 or so. But the fact of it is, this was a celebration. And so Jesus, he goes to the celebration, and then on this last day, he turns around and he makes this great statement. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you thirst? That is the question that we need to ask in this day and age. Do we have a need? Do we have a desire? Or do we figure we got it all figured out and we don't need anything? We're good to go. Don't worry about me. Pastor, I don't need a visit from you. Pastor, I got the world figured out. I don't need prayer. I don't need encouragement. But please, tell me all about the Red Wings. We're not going to talk about the Lions, but tell me about the Packers. Or for my wife, the Patriots. But the fact of it is, in all honesty, do we have a need? Do we have a thirst? Do we have a desire for something greater in our lives? I think we do. First of all, I'm thirsty right now. But I think we do. Because look around in this world, we chase after everything. We chase after the latest fads. We chase after the latest gizmo with electronics. We chase after the greatest clothing, whatever it may be. And I'm not saying any of that is wrong. But are we finding satisfaction in those things? Are we finding satisfaction, and I'm talking long-term satisfaction, in the greatest vacations we may take? Are we finding satisfaction in all that we are endeavoring to do in this world? Are we finding satisfaction in the way we've designed and built our homes? In other words, does that give long-term satisfaction? No, I believe it leaves us wanting again. I've shared this account with other individuals before, but I have some friends on the East Coast that have seemed to do quite well in their life, and I have one friend that has done very well. And I'm a little more blunt with people. And him and I were alone, we were sitting in his big coach, and we were sitting there, and I said, "You know what, I got to ask you a question. You're a millionaire right now." We get ashamed to even say those words, don't we? But he was. Let's call an ace an ace. And I said, "How does that feel?" Because that was the question. I wanted to ask him how it felt. Is this good? And this man was so honest with me. He looked at me and he smiled. He said, "You know what, brother, I wish I could tell you that it brings contentment. But it doesn't." See, we often fool ourselves thinking, if I just had a little more, I'd be content. It doesn't. He said, "I always am desiring to have a little more. Because this earthly stuff will never bring contentment." And I'm not saying it's wrong to have earthly stuff. We can look through the scripture. We can find that, you know, Abraham was not poor. Many of the elders within the Christendom have not been poor. That's not the problem. It's never wrong to have money. It's only wrong when money has you. But what I'm asking is, these things of this earth, have they contented you? Have they filled you? Or do you find yourself longing for more? The Pharisees wanted their position, their power. They wanted their right within the synagogues and the temple. They wanted the recognition on the streets. But it was never enough. And when Jesus came in and he started preaching the truth and the love of God and the gospel, they hated him. They despised him. They sought to kill him. It's an amazing thing because we think we're so far removed from this, but we're not. We can have these tendencies with one another. We can have this tendency from church to church. That one's a suspicious church. This one's a suspicious individual. That preacher, he's from the seminary. He's got to be no good. Or I could turn around and say, "Well, he's not seminary trained, so he can't be good." And that's all foolishness. Contentment, peace, the fruits of the Spirit, where are they found? They are found by partaking in Jesus Christ. In receiving exactly what he speaks of, this living water, that we would be vessels holding this Spirit. It's a phenomenal work. It's an amazing work that God has cleansed us enough by faith through grace that we actually can be partakers. Partakers of God. I don't think that this is really here by chance in the Gospel of John. Because he says, like I said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. He says, if you have this desire, this need, he says, and drink. Receive. Receive. And it's an interesting thing because when you talk about the great vast difference, even in the Gospel of John, the second chapter, we have the wedding feast at Cana, don't we? And at the wedding feast at Cana, what do we see? We see that Mary is all worked up because they don't have any wine left. The celebration is in the middle of things. They don't have any wine left. And she tells Jesus, we don't have any wine. And he says, woman, what does that have to do with me? Why are you telling me this issue? And then she turns around and she tells everybody around, whatever he tells you to do, do it. She moved in faith. She moved in faith. And Jesus, he turns around and he says, take these big jugs, fill them up with water. Interesting, isn't it? Water. And when they dipped and they gave to the chief there, what did they receive? The greatest wine that ever was. What Jesus Christ offers is so much better than whatever we can have, whatever we can produce, whatever we can make. Yes, we can strongly bring it to the Old Testament and say the new covenant is now so much greater than the old. But even in our earthly endeavors, it goes to show even what we are able to produce fails in comparison to what Jesus Christ offers. He takes this living water and he produces in reality seed for himself. And he allows us to be living fountains that we now, inspired by this Holy Spirit, would enter into this world and that we would feed and that we would replenish. Not by our abilities, but by that Spirit working in our lives. He says, if you have this need, if you have this thirst, come to me, he says, and drink. And he says, he that believes on me, not he that produces, not he that can manufacture or make, he that believes on me, as the Scripture speaks boldly, he says, out of his belly should what? Flow. Flow rivers of living water. It actually says more in the Greek, out of his heart. Out of his heart. But isn't that an amazing thing? Because we turn around and we understand, now being joined to Jesus Christ, we become partakers of what? The Holy Spirit. And how are we joined to Jesus Christ? By faith, through grace. For it is a gift of God. He turns around in the Gospel of John. John the Baptist turns around and he says, you know what? What I'm offering you, yes, it is commissioned by God. I'm here baptizing with water. And John, we understood, had the baptism of repentance. And we don't like to hear this in this day and age, but the baptism of repentance without Jesus Christ will do nothing. It will not save anybody. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that John speaks of in this very same book. That Jesus Christ will now come, and he by faith, he will join you. Because that's what the word baptism means. Baptismo in Greek. Joined together. And they used it in the understanding of dyeing cloths and things like that. In other words, they would take this cloth and they would put it in a dye color. And they'd pull it out and it would be red or whatever you may have. And we understand it's you can't remove that. It's joining together, becoming one, if you could say. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we are now baptized into Him in receiving the Holy Spirit, that it would be joined together with us. Do you see the gift that you receive by faith? It's not just an aspect of being a religious individual. It's not just the understanding of, well, now, okay, I'm an apostolic Lutheran and I'm a good boy now because I paid my dues. It is in the understanding of having a thirst, having a desire, having a need, and receiving from Him. And that He fills you. And in that filling, there is contentment. And I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you don't see it. I can't judge. Maybe you do see it. But each and every one of us is seeking to be content. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't like blanket statements. But if you're not seeking for contentment, I'm not saying you haven't even found it. But I believe that as our earnest heart's desire is to seek contentment, our contentment will be found in the reality of Jesus Christ and the imputation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, where we will find who we are. See, because in this day and age, we turn around and we even saw it very strongly in the 60s, you know? People would go out and do their fun things in life that they thought were fun or whatever, and they were just seeking to find themselves. And a lot of people make fun of that. I don't make fun of that. I think that that is actually put there by God, that we would seek to find out who we are. But I think that we are lost without His Spirit, and we truly find this contentment and this understanding of who we are in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is a desire. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you have that desire? Do you desire to know Him? For He is here. He is present here now. See, we often think that a lot of this stuff up here is just adiaphora, which it is. There's no doubt about it. But it is representation for us to understand that God is present here and now. But He doesn't like go away. When I'm at home with my wife, He is present. When I'm in my car and I'm getting angry at the person in front of me, God is present. He is present because He has not separated Himself from us. Yes, there are times where God does seem to hide His face, as the Scripture says. And those times, I think, are very important. Because if I could describe it in this way to you, it would be like when you go outside. What are we getting excited about today? When you go out there, the sun's out there, right? And yesterday, we had a beautiful wedding, everything was good, but what were we looking for? I was getting excited maybe two or three times because it seemed like the sun was popping out. When it's, we know it's up there, we know the sun is there, but the clouds come in, and what do? We seek for it. We desire to see it. And when God turns, and if we could say that, His face from us, I think it's a call that we would seek for Him, and I think we truly do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is your contentment. And that is the greatest thing that not only can we teach and learn for ourselves, but that we could teach to our children and to our family. And that we would enter out into a world and that we wouldn't sit there and profess to the world, you're a bunch of scumbags and we want nothing to do with you. But that we would enter into a world understanding who we were without Christ, and that we would encourage them and strengthen them. And that we would also proclaim Christ to them, that they would in reality receive this contentment and this peace. He says, because when you receive of what I offer you, He says, you also will be givers of it. Very plainly, Paul says to us, we are ambassadors. As though God did beseech you through us. We are ambassadors of this gospel. We are not ambassadors for the adversary. We are not ambassadors for anything else. We are ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ, entering into a world that needs to hear good news. But if we are not content with it ourselves, I hate to use this word, but how could we ever convince anybody else? Brothers and sisters in Christ, know who you are. Know what you have received. Don't look at everybody else that is confident in the Spirit and moving forward in the Spirit and say, they're a bunch of loonies. Because I've been there. I've judged. And we heard what brother read to us in the book of Acts. They all thought, oh, they're all drunk. Now, the Spirit wasn't their thing that they could wield around and pull out. We have all kinds of people that want to do goofy things with it, as we've talked about. But the fact of it is, even look in that description in the book of Acts. It says that everybody there heard in their own language. The speaking of tongues had a specific purpose. It was there to break the barrier, that the gospel would be heard by all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we trust and know that God can break all the barriers. That He can allow His word to go forth, and that we may enter into this world proclaiming to whoever it may be, and allow His word to do the work. And that by hearing they may receive faith, and God be glorified. Jesus says very plainly, he says, if you receive what I offer you, he says, then out of your heart or out of your belly, he says, will be flowing living water. The Spirit will come forth. See, we often turn around and we make that statement. We say, well, you know, when I was talking to so-and-so, our spirit just meshed. So we understand our spirit comes forth. But then we also get kind of goofy with this too. I've heard it said before and it drives me insane. I'm still trying to figure it out after hearing it many years ago. You know, I believe they're a Christian church, but they have a different spirit. How does that work? They're a Christian church, but they have a different spirit. No, no they don't. Either they have the Spirit of God or not. And that's a fact. We don't need to always understand why every church does everything in a certain way. We all have different pastures, but we all have the same shepherd. May we understand that, and may we know that. May we not judge people according to what we deem to be right, but rather what is right according to this word. Now, I'm not saying there aren't the gifts of speaking in tongues, even in an untranslatable to me, but it does say very plainly within the Scripture, if no one is there to translate, then do it in private. Because what benefit would it? It would just bring confusion. These are areas that I don't understand. And these are gifts that I don't have. But the fact of it is, he now spake of the Spirit, and that's what he shares with us, John Mark here does. I mean, and we're not in the Gospel of Mark, we're in the Gospel of John. But anyways, John shares with us. He says, but this he spake of the Spirit, which that they that believe in him should receive. By faith you will be partakers, is what he's saying. He says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Because Christ had not yet suffered. He had not paid the penalty of sin. Therefore we were remaining in our sinfulness. Our vessel was not clean. That's something when you think about it. And so then, he in reality wasn't glorified yet. And so it comes down to this basis that God loved us so much that he came and he prepared us to be partakers of him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't belittle that. We are partakers of God. I love it in the priestly prayer how Jesus says that. Jesus prays it very boldly in the priestly prayer in the Gospel of John, once again, I believe chapter 17 or so. And he says, Father, I pray that I would be in you and that you would be in me and that they would be in us and that we would be one. That's amazing. To understand as a new creation in Jesus Christ that now we are not God, but we are partakers. And God has found it fitting through the finished work of his Son to reside in and within us. May we understand that each and every person that we meet is a brother and sister in Christ. And may we man up and treat them that way. May God be glorified and may he be praised each and every day for Jesus' name's sake.